welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. Today's message will give you biblical keys on how to see, give, and receive God's grace. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
We're in week 7 of a series we're calling, help me, Grace Like a Flood. And I'm excited because this series is really helping people. There's been a lot of people that have been in religion. There's been a lot of people that have been in doubt. There's a lot of people that have been in fear of God. And I really believe God has come to really shine light and bring truth to his word. And man, God's in love with y'all. He's not just in love with me, the pastor. He's in love with you. Whatever and whoever you are. Because for God so loved the world, you're included in that. And today's message is really, if you're a visitor, I don't want to really apologize that you came, but I got to talk to Transformation Church today. And you can get in, like you're an honorary Transformation Church member if you're visiting today. But some of the things that I'm going to say today is talking to the culture that we are creating here at Transformation Church, because we will not be a church that keeps out who God has let in. And I know, there's religious people who came today, and because your religion is how you've been dictated and what's happening, it can kind of get offensive. I need everybody to put your dukes down, because y'all know y'all come in these messages and you ready, you like, what you gonna say, Pastor? That ain't me. And you're ready to fight. We're in a safe place today, but I have to address things so that we do not victimize and condemn people that God is trying to get his love to. So I've been troubled by some of the recent events that have been happening in our world. And usually there's a lot of times where God doesn't allow me to talk on certain stuff just because he wants me to stay on topic and on target with wherever we're at. But it just so happens that we're in a series about the grace of God. So as I got news this week that there were entertainers and different people that have lost their lives to suicide, and I was troubled, and I haven't been troubled by stuff like that in the way that this troubled me. You know, that's sad, like praying for the family, but it's like those fake Christian like responses, and because usually my heart used to be, that's what they get. Like I'm not gonna talk about you, but I'm gonna talk about me, and hopefully my transparency today can maybe shine a little light on what maybe some of the ugliness in our hearts are. Because I was the first one. If somebody overdosed or somebody killed themselves or somebody put them in a situation that ended up in wrong consequences, for most of my life, it was kind of like, shouldn't have been doing it. And I know that would never be your response. Like, I know that. But for me, that's what happened until I ran into this message of grace. And you're looking at these people, and they got money, they got fame, they have notoriety, but still something was missing to the fact where they felt like the only option was to take their own life. And then I dig a little deeper culturally, and I've been seeing how people have been responding to people like Kanye West. And some of you are like, Kanye who? But he's a celebrity that's in a process right now. That may be going through. Just like we're going through, we just don't have 5 million cameras on us. Oh, because if you had a camera crew following you, those ratings. Y'all got what I'm saying? But I think it hadn't troubled me that the things are happening. It's troubled me the church's response. And I have to come at this because we've been ones for so long to not understand how to receive the message of grace, but then deal and communicate and interact with people who are still in sin. And today, that's what I want to tackle, because I don't want you to forget what God did for you. And then you start judging people on a criteria that you couldn't even meet. And then we make a separation between being God's hands and feet on the earth and being somebody to detour the people that he really wants to come into the kingdom. And so I started to pray because I've been troubled. Like, I've just been like, Lord, I'm looking at comments on Instagram and Facebook, and I'm seeing how believers are people who love Jesus on the worship team, serve every week, give faithfully since 1964. Like I'm seeing all of that, but I'm seeing how they are taking people in a snapshot of their process and turning them into a problem. When God has called us as his ambassador. Now, I don't know if y'all read the Bible, but God tells us that he's chosen us to be his ambassadors on the earth. That means we represent him. That means some people will never meet Jesus, but they will meet you. Uh-oh. And if they meet you, will they get a proper representation of him? Oh, I'm coming to your house today. I didn't get on a plane at 10 o'clock to come and just fluff around it. And so today, my message is really a story that I'm going to tell from the Bible. You know, usually I have a whole bunch of points and all this other stuff. We have one point today. Because at the end of the day, I would rather God do a work on your heart than you have this religious thing that you're like, check one, check two, check three. Like, I want God to do something in your heart like he's doing in mine. And all I'm saying is, this is a room full of progressing people, not perfected people. Okay? And so I want us to work from the title today, Grace for Them. Because that's what our heart really looks like. When people are struggling in the middle of a hardship, have made the wrong decision, lost, and then God's like, go share with them, go love on them, go give to them, go pray for them. And we're like, grace for them? Not them, God. Because we know that they wrong. Yeah, grace for them. But God, we know. Like it's proven. They're actually blatant and proud of what they're doing that goes against your word. And remember in 1 Corinthians, the word said, and we try to do all this other stuff. And God said, yeah, grace for them. And I've titled the subtitle of this because this is going to help a lot of people in this room. Because we have to see that God wants something in us to be given to other people so that they can find him. And this is the real crux of the whole thing. There is power in grace and truth. And most believers do not know how to identify, communicate, or relate to people that they don't agree with in grace and truth. Seen it all my life. I've been with people who can call down heaven. Hey, healing in the name of Jesus. And somebody comes in smelling like alcohol and their whole attitude changes. We just don't do that here. Huh? We don't do that where? In the church? You mean you want to keep people out of the hospital for humanity because they have a problem? Like what hospital do you go into that they screen people because of their color? They screen people because of their background? They screen? No. If you go to the emergency room, they are going to see you whether you have insurance or not. Why? Because we will sort out what you did later. You are sick and hurting now. We have to meet your need. And some of y'all, some people that don't have insurance, they're going to be paying until Jesus comes back and for in heaven and sending Western Unions back from heaven. But what I'm saying is that does not keep them from being seen. But we're the only hospital that makes people meet a criteria before we will give them the medicine that'll change their life. And what we do is we turn the hospital for humanity into a prison of people's past. Wow. So if you did it, that's who you are. That wasn't a scene in your story. That wasn't a moment in time. That's who you are. You lied, you're a liar. Now we're having an altar call for all the liars. That'd be the whole church every Sunday. We're calling an altar call right now for all the people who are dealing with perversion. Now, if I said that right now, barely nobody would get up except like a young teenager that you look at. You're like, I know, I messed up. I did it in the parking lot. Lord, help me. And we would clap and we would shout. But I think my Bible says if you thought it. Uh-oh. No, I'm sorry. If you think it. And so what ends up happening is many times because of our view of people that are still in sin and we don't know how to communicate with them, what ends up happening is we condemn them. And so what ends up happening is I didn't know how to deal with my own convictions without condemning somebody else. And I'm coming with you because this is the process I had to go. Because we feel like if we don't agree, I have to kill what you're doing. And there's a difference between condoning and conviction. And most of us don't understand it. That I cannot agree with something and somebody and have a completely different stance, thought process, and conviction about it, but I do not have to demonize you because you're not there in your process yet. And what we do is usually burn bridges for people to get to Jesus because they have a season of not understanding where we're at. And I'm just saying it because I see I'm counseling people. Many of you are products. The only reason you come to this church is because you feel like I'm real. This pastor real, he'll tell it how it is. He real. But you had another experience at another church or in another situation that made you feel like it was time for you to start putting on a performance every Sunday so that you could be accepted into this Christian club. When God says, I'm really attracted to your brokenness, like I'm really attracted to the thing that is broken in you that only I can heal, but he has to have an environment where that can happen. And church, I just came to tell you today that if you don't want to be a part of a church that attracts broken people, you need to find another church. No. Hear what I'm saying to you right now. God is breaking my heart for what breaks his. And what's happening is there's so many people that we work with, that we stand with, that are in our families, that we have demonized and cut off the access that we were supposed to have in their life to be with them through their process because we didn't know how to have a conviction but not condone what they were doing. And so today, I asked the Lord, I said, God, you got to give me something in your word because I can get up there and say that. And it's just like, Pastor Mike, real serious about this. But maybe if Jesus did this for somebody, maybe if there was an example in the word that I really didn't have to like make up a story, but like he did it. And there is. In John chapter 8, I want everybody to go there. Because I need us to see how we navigate showing the grace of God to people that are still in sin. Because they're everywhere around you, but they are there on purpose. And if you don't see it as purpose, you will see them as a problem. Look at this story. This is Jesus talking. It said, Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. So he came to church. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. So they were at a church service like this. Just imagine, bring it up to 2018. They're in a church service just like this. As he was speaking, everybody, I want you to understand what this says. Like, as he was talking, like right now, as I'm talking, this would be like somebody doing this right now. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. I have so many questions right now. Like, how did y'all catch her? We'll talk about that in a minute. Like, just so many questions. Like, she was caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. So I want you to imagine me up here preaching, and they throw a lady right here at my feet. Okay? She was caught in the act of adultery, Jesus. We did it, guys. Watch. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. And the law of Moses, you know what it says, don't you, Jesus? We should stone her. I don't know why, but I get this like British accent. Stone her. And look what it says. What do you say? Like we caught her in the sin. The law says we should kill her. Like it wasn't like fake stones. These weren't Nerf balls. These were real stones. And if they started hitting you with stones, eventually you would die. They're sitting there with their judgments, their criticisms. They're throwing their stones ready to just get the word. And it says, what do you say? They were trying, motive is being exposed right here. They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his fingers. They kept demanding an answer. So what do you say, Jesus? Like, shouldn't we stone her? So he stood up and he said, all right, stone her. But one thing, let the one who has never sinned, you throw the first stone. Like, no, we can stone her, but I need to reserve the first hit for the person who's never done what she's done. I need, no, you got to hear me, because y'all came up here ready to stone her. I need somebody to start this thing out who's never been in sin before. Okay, just stay with me. This is about to be so good. Then he stooped down again and he wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Only Jesus was left with the woman. Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? This is the first time she speaks in this whole interaction. No, Lord. Like, in this moment, I just want everybody to identify that she agreed with who he was. She didn't say, no, man. She didn't say, no, sir. She said, no, Lord. Okay? I just want us to see this, details. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Okay? Now, some of y'all got it just by reading the Bible. Like, you got it. But there's some of us like me that are remedial, okay? So I heard that, but I need you to break that down for me, Pastor Mike. Great, this is what I do for a living. I want you to go with me to this story, because it looks like a lot of us. And the first thing, when I read this scripture, I had so many questions. Because it's a very short passage in John 8, but there's so many missing details. And I don't know, when I read the Bible, I become a CIA detective. Like, all those shows where they're putting clues together come back in my mind. And then I try to solve these mysteries in the Bible. So I'm just going to tell you a few of the questions I had, because they may be some of the questions that you had. Watch this. The first one, in verse 4, it says, teacher, they said, the woman was caught in the acts of adultery. How did y'all catch her? Like, that would have been my first question as a disciple sitting there. Because it said they caught her in the act. So there only leads me to two possible reasons how they could kept, like, in the act, like, you saw. Oh. So the first possible reason was they set her up. Like she had been known to act in these things, and they wanted to catch her. They wanted to see her fail. Because they knew her tendencies, they set her up. They might have been in the closet or under a bushel of hay or however they did it back then. And they literally, we caught you. And doesn't that seem like us so many times? That we want to catch people messing up? Like we're setting traps for their sin to be exposed. We're just sitting there waiting to tell God on them. And I'm not saying maybe you're not sitting in somebody's closet doing that or something like that. What I am saying is your heart intent is, I can't wait for them to fail. Okay, let me bring it down to a more modern term. Have you ever seen two celebrities get married or something, and in your heart you said, that ain't gonna last? All of us have done that. You stop lying right now. And it's almost like we're waiting for there to be a failure, a sin, an issue, so that we can catch them and basically show God, I'm better than them. Or bring it as a case. God, they're doing that. Why are you still blessing them? Yeah. And it's a heart posture that allows us not to be ones who pray for them. They weren't having a prayer meeting interceding that this woman would come out of this temptation. They weren't like, Father, I thank you right now that you would move all of these distractions. She's been in a lifestyle like this, but God, I thank you that you'll give us an opportunity to be grace and love to her and to step in, Father God, and show her that she doesn't have. They were waiting for the moment to accuse her. And the beautiful thing about this is that this is the same thing that God says that the enemy does to us. He calls him the accuser of the and some of you are like, I'm not doing that, Pastor Mike. I'm not. Yes, you are. You're on Instagrams and Facebooks waiting to see something that is not right so you can call somebody and say, girl, did you see? You're waiting for that boss or that coworker to mess up. It's almost like we're trying to find people's fault instead of trying to build their faith. And these were the Christians, the religious leaders. So it either was a setup or it was a session. Some of y'all missed that. Either they caught her in the act because they were setting her up, or they usually go there. And they were regulars at whatever this establishment was. And maybe the young lady made him mad. Maybe I just want y'all to put a picture right here. Maybe she wasn't doing what they wanted her to do. And they said, we're going to now use what we've been participating in with you as the thing to bring you and accuse you for. How do you know this, Pastor Mike? I'll talk about it later. But isn't it funny that she was committing adultery, but only one person was brought? Now, you can't commit adultery alone. Why was there not two people? Somebody said, where he at? Like, but come on. That just leads. Y'all know I got my CSI. Where was he? Was he standing there and he was a willing party? But his boys covered him because it's okay for them to do it. Y'all. And so I'm sitting here, I got questions. Like, how did they catch her? And then I have another question after reading verse 5. The law of Moses says, to stone her. And they said, what do you say? And again, we only get one person that's there. So where's the guy? Verse 6. They were trying to trap Jesus into saying something they could use against him. Kind of like how the church world is trying to trap pastors and leaders. Y'all, I have gotten so much crazy emails and comments about the message of grace. And these people are combing through my messages, waiting for me to say something. They're sitting there with their stone. These are church people. Believing, tithing, shouting. Sick of y'all. We're doing all of this, and we just waiting to throw. They were trying to catch Jesus. They were trying to catch somebody in something that they could use to tear down what God was trying to build. And look at this. It said, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. I got questions. What was he writing? Because it says he stoops down and he starts playing in the sand. Now, if it's me, I think Jesus crazy and he about to do something like this is weird. You understand what I'm saying? He just starts writing in the sand. And then they're like, Jesus, give us an answer. We're ready to kick these people out of the church. We're ready to disown these people. We're ready to throw stones at them. All we need is your word. Co-sign this. There's got to be a scripture in here where we can find to make these people feel like nothing. Let's go, Jesus. And this is the beautiful thing about it. I love the grace of God because he stands up and the word he says is, all right, you caught her. He never denies that she did it. He never tries to go to bat and act like it didn't happen. He actually agreed. Yeah, she did it. I mean, you could tell by how she's crying, how she's sobbing, the clothes she's probably wearing, the way she smells, because they used to put perfume on to try to entice the men from the, like, yeah. She smells like what she's been through. So go ahead, stone her. Except if you've ever been in a situation like this, you can't throw the first stone. I need somebody who is without sin to throw the first one. And do you know the beautiful thing about that? Is he knows that he's the only one that was without sin. But guess what? He didn't even have a stone. I want you to see this. He's the only one that did not have sin, as well as he was the only one around without a stone. And after he says this to her, he does something weird again. The Bible, I mean, read it. It says he stoops back down and starts writing in the sand. And something really weird happens, y'all. Because he's just done the same thing twice, but he gets a different reaction the second time. First time he stoops down, they're still demanding and angry and give us an answer so we can stone her. The second time he stoops down, verse 9, these brothers start leaving one at a time. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what he's writing. But I have a couple theories. Like maybe he was writing dates on the ground. November 11th, 1943. And they saw that. And one of the brothers in the back was like, oh. Yeah. I remember, I remember what happened on 1943. And at the memory of who he used to be. Yeah, nah, bro. Nah, my wife really was asking me to really clean out the stalls in the barn, y'all. I'll catch y'all later. And Jesus is still stooped down. December 6th, 1978. And another brother said, uh-oh, I was in college. I mean, I only remember pieces. It just, it's, whoo, oh my God. Cynthia, Jesus. And I don't know. I mean, we don't know. Or maybe he was writing down names. Travis. Andrea. And people saw. I mean, because he was just right. I don't know if he was making pictures, but something changed between him stooping down and writing the first time and him stooping down and writing the second time, because he didn't talk to them individually. He just kept writing. And these brothers kept like, you know, honey, what? And they would leave. All I'm saying is something reminded them of who they really were. And that the same grace that they needed to be called a religious leader was the same grace that this woman needed in her time of need. And my problem is we forget that. Like somehow you forgot who you were. And some of y'all are like, well, I ain't never been in adultery and I ain't never did. But you've been in pride since you were seven. And literally God hates pride. Like that's why the enemy got thrown down out of heaven. It's because he was prideful and he thought that he could take some of the glory. Like that's why he says, I can't even deal with that. And we're sitting here judging people and giving people looks and stares and judgment. It's funny how church people turn stuff that is positive or stuff that's negative and they try to make it a positive. They say stuff like this. What do you like to do? I like people watching. You like judging people. No, come on, let's be honest. Like I got my stone. I'm ready to cast judgment because it's their third marriage. I'm ready because they met. Like, Jesus did not deny that this woman did it. But this is the beautiful thing about it, is he got close to her humanity. I believe the reason he didn't stand and the reason he stooped is because no matter what everybody else was saying and the threat of throwing stones, he wanted that girl to know that he was close to her. And he took a position that you can't run from. How do you run from a stooped position? He was letting this young lady know. I really believe that he was probably saying stuff like this. Don't worry. If they start throwing stones, I'll cover you. Like, don't worry. If they try to bring up your past, I'll lay down on top of you. And I'll take the hits. And doesn't that remind you of another story? Doesn't that remind you of what Christ did at Calvary? Could it be that at this moment, Christ was practicing for his death? That he would get down and identify with man's humanity and get close enough to it that if that there was a beating or a death that had to be had, he was gonna get over it and cover it. Oh, y'all better hear the word of God in this place. Could it be that this was the precursor to what God was going to do for all of us? For God so loved the, even the adulterer, even the one who's on drugs right now, even the one who's greedy and prideful and has abused people. Church, I feel the passion and the burden to share this with you because if we do not get grace and truth, we will keep out people that God wanted to use us as a bridge to get to him. And there are people right now that you're judging. If they came in here and sat right next to you, your whole attitude would change because you feel that you're better than them and that they don't deserve what God has given you. Why do you know that, Pastor Mike? Because it was me for over 20 years. When people did stuff and they got consequences, I never say it out loud, but in my heart, my attitude was, that's what they get. instead of praying for them, instead of calling them to see, is there any, I know you're in this situation, but can I identify, can I stoop down and get close to you while you're going through your situation? But they don't do that. Why? Because if I get close to you, that means I'm condoning it. And if I'm close to you and I'm condoning it, guess what? I'm gonna get hit too. And I ain't trying to get hit for your stuff. You see, Jesus didn't do what most of us would have done, where we would say the right thing, but keep backing up. Like she'd be sitting there, whichever one of y'all don't have with the stones and you haven't sinned, we'd be messing it all up. Whichever one of y'all just don't cast, you can cast the stone. Y'all don't do this to her. That's wrong, y'all. Just still stepping back. Come on, think about it, y'all. She's just a woman. And we'll say the right things, but we'll get far from people. We'll say the right things. We'll I'm praying for you, sister. Hey, there's no distance in prayer. Ain't no distance. And you know what I'm saying? We're trying to run for cover. When God is asking us to identify, to get down with people, to be able to be there. But listen, well, Pastor Mike, how do I do that? Jesus gave us an example. He says to this woman, he stands with her long enough for all of her accusers to leave. Do you know how powerful that is? To be a friend or a believer, to stay with somebody through a divorce and be there and celebrate birthdays with them and stand with them and be an absentee family member while they're going through the situation. We always want to come back to their celebration party. Girl, we didn't know if you was going to make it, but God is good. What? And that's why people don't trust people. And because we was down when it was good. And maybe I messed up. Maybe I had a baby out of wedlock. And maybe I did get in a relationship with the wrong person. And maybe I did steal it. And maybe I did commit the sin. But you stop stooping. You stop getting close. Maybe you were the only encouragement and the only hope I had. And because you were scared of a stone, you left me. And church, I'm telling you that this is a hospital for humanity. And if you're scared of getting hit, you don't want to be in this church. Why are you saying that, Pastor Mike? Because it's happened to me in my own life. Over the past 3 weeks, I got a call on Sunday morning 3 weeks ago that my childhood pastor, my first pastor, Pastor Carlton Pearson, was going to be in service that Sunday. His mom wanted to come to church, and he was going to, out of all the churches that he could have taken to, he was going to bring her to this church. Well, I got excited, and I started praying, because my parents came here 35 years ago to help Bishop Pearson and a team with Pastor Gary and all start a church called Higher Dimension. And there was nothing like it at the time. It honestly looked like this, black, white, all types of races and all this other stuff. And God was doing amazing things in that church. And listen, that was a church I grew up in. That's all I knew. Y'all wouldn't see Michael Todd if it wasn't for Bishop Carlton Pearson. And so what ended up happening, I got excited. Well, some of you know the story that Bishop Pearson had to change in his beliefs and started believing that there was no hell and that there was no place after this life where the consequences, torment, and all that stuff. And when I heard that, I was like, that ain't what I believe. But I love that man. And we can have different beliefs and we can still love each other and support each other and stand with the, we can identify. So he came, and out of every message I could be preaching in the world, I'm preaching about the grace of God. And man, he's standing up and cheering me down, and I gave him the juice on that service and feeling good. And I went back in the back, and he just encouraged me. And and prayed. And I mean, it was an amazing moment because I had all my pastors, every pastor I'd ever had in my whole life. They were there at the same time. My father, who is the pastor of our home, Bishop Gary and Pastor Carlton were all there, and we're sitting talking. I'm like, yo, I am in a moment right now. Somebody pinched me, and it was just like an amazing moment. So I said, man, I got to commemorate this moment. I got to take a picture with all my pastors. So we take a picture on the back porch, and then I was like, yo, I cannot wait to share this with people. I honor the people who have come before me and all this other stuff. So I posted the picture the next day. Y'all, the church had they stones ready. And for a day and a half, people begin to attack me because I was associated with somebody who's sown into my life and has a difference of belief. Y'all would have thought I was standing with a porn star, Marilyn Manson, and Hitler. And I was like, what it do, though? Like, I'm talking about, I knew there was something wrong with Pastor Mike. Ain't nobody that fly and really love Jesus. I mean, it was just, I mean, day after day. And listen, you thought stones were actual stones. 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 Oh, come on. We're texting things and we're saying things and we're tearing people down. And y'all, I I'm a fighter by nature. So I had my stone Uzi gun. I was ready to go off and just, I was this close. This close. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, what did I do? He said, you're getting a taste of what I went through. He said, when you stand up for me and you use my method, he said, they'll stone you. They might even kill you. Come on, somebody. He said, maybe when I said in my word that you'll reign with me, that means you'll also suffer with me. And there's some believers that have been too scared to get a stone thrown at them, that they stay away from the action. Because they don't want to get hurt. And they don't know what God's doing in the background. And they don't know that Bishop Pearson is sitting here again on another Sunday. I honor you, man of God. I appreciate you. I love you. Oh, y'all can honor. He's sown seeds into this city. Yeah. Now watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch Grace and Truth. I don't agree with everything that you believe. I love you. Grace and truth. Oh, y'all better give God some praise right there. Like, grace and truth. The problem is that if we don't believe the same, now I feel like I gotta condemn you. And Jesus never did that. He told the woman, he said, where are your accusers? They're gone. I stayed connected to you long enough for everybody who was hating on you and ready to kill you that they left. But remember what it says. It said that until all there was Jesus, and he was with her. And then what it did was allow them. See, if you lead with grace, it gives opportunity for truth. Most of us are leading with truth, and don't nobody want to hear what you have to say after that. You're wrong. Bye. Like, I'm not listening to you. But if you lead with grace, you'll give somebody the opportunity to accept truth. Who knows what God is going to do through me and Bishop Carlton's relationship? Who knows how much wisdom of leading and a church that has never been seen before that I can get from him, and how much he can be able to see what God is doing in his life and be able to go, listen, some plant, some water, but God adds the end. It doesn't matter. But you will never find a day, and internet, you better get ready to go crazy. You'll never find a day where I will not publicly honor this man. Hear me. Why? Why? Because that woman got caught in the act of adultery. And Jesus identified and stayed long enough to be able to give her truth. You know what the truth was? There's no more people here to stone you. Go, sin no more. Like when you do that, that hurts you. Like when you keep lying and creating these webs, like that's hurting you. Don't do that anymore. When you're going against God's word in this area, it's leading people the wrong way and hurting you. Don't do that. Like that's all he was saying. But this is the crazy thing I think about this, is that even if this woman would have gone back into the lifestyle, because we don't know what happens to this woman. She could have been like, whoo, I thought I was dead. Let me get back to this trap house and make this money. Gotta get my coins. Oh, ain't that what some of us did? We pray the prayer, God, if you get me out of this, I promise I'll start a prayer group. I'll be a pastor. And you was, never mind. So we don't know what she did after this. We just know she experienced grace like a flood. And it's the same thing that God desires to give to all of us. So my challenge for every person in this room, that when you have a question, grace for them? Yes. And maybe God wants to use you as his representative to identify with them long enough for them to have an opportunity to change. What do you mean, Pastor Mike? Are you saying you want me and my men's group to go down to the strip club and witness to these women who, ooh, they broken. They battered, Lord. And you want us to come and, you know, lay hands? Because y'all know how some of us just pervert this. And when we're asking questions like the Corinthians church asked Paul, like, so do we just, now that we've been extended the grace of God, like, can we just go on sinning? Of course not. You've been saved by grace for good works. And so what God wants us to do is do things that are going to bring him glory, that are going to bring people out, that are going to go. And so what I'm saying is, but if that person that's a stripper comes to get their car fixed at your auto mechanic store, don't use slurs and be nasty because you know what they do. Treat them like a woman of God. Give them dignity. No, I'm just saying because a lot of times we treat people by where they're at. Have you ever walked into like a place that was like rich, like real wealthy, like, and you might not, some of y'all ain't never experienced this, but your boy has walked into places where I may have had sweats on and all this other stuff, and it looked like I can't afford anything in there, but you don't know who my daddy is. And so you walk in, and I went into a piano store one time, and I was playing on the piano. The little snooty woman walked over to me like she owned the store. You work here. Like, I don't care if you work at Gucci, and you work here. Who's the truth anyhow? She said, "Can I help you, sir?" I said, "Just testing out some pianos." She said, "Can you afford one of these pianos?" I just hit the bottom keys, just like, And I didn't want to lie, so I said, "Maybe." I couldn't afford it, but she didn't know that maybe. And she said, "Okay." And she stepped back, and she literally followed me from piano to piano. Not like I could pick a piano up and steal it. Like, I mean, she, like, I can't, like. And what she didn't know is that one day I could afford a piano. And because of how she treated me in a season of my life, I would never go back to that establishment to ever even, she probably don't even work there. No, but what she just did was give the whole company a bad reputation. Just like when many believers come in contact with a representative of the king. Oh, come on, y'all. You ain't even the king, but because you treated that person and that family and a moment where you judged what they were going through, you summed them up. When they're dying and in need, they don't even look to Jesus. They look to alcohol, they look to weed, they look to prescription pills, they look to working out, they look to therapists, they look to psychics, they're searching. But what if you're the reason they don't look at Jesus? Church, it's time for all of us to work in grace and truth. I'll give you one last scripture. John chapter 1, verse 14. And let me give you my one point. Here we go. Real simple. Covers everything. Grace for them comes from grace like him. Like you can't use your own judgment system to determine whether people get grace. What did God use to judge you? He just basically said, if you receive this gift that I'm giving you, he said, I'll cover it. You made a debt so big called sin that you don't even have the resources to pay it. So I'll cover your debt once and for all. If you just, everybody say believe.
Believe.
If you believe. And I just want us for a second to remember who we were without the grace of God. Are you talking about Kanye and all these other, you was crazy like that too. You just didn't have no cameras around. Like this is one of the, like, grace for them, whoever them is in your life, comes from grace like him. Let me tell you this other story real quick that just happened to me yesterday. I met a celebrity that if I called their name, everybody in this room would know. And I'm in a back room with a bunch of celebrities and some pastors, and I'm at a conference, and I walk in and I go around and I shake hands with every person and I introduce myself to this celebrity because I knew them, but they ain't know me. And so they said their name and I was like, I know. What ended up happening was I sit down and he says, bro, I saw relationship goals 2 weeks ago. The same week I got stoned. The message from this house, somehow he saw it. He said, bro, I didn't want to watch it, but it popped up on my screen and something told me I had to watch it. And he said, bro, I needed that. He said, thank you for that. You don't know how that impacted my life. And then I was like, you're welcome. You know, trying to act like you've been there before, like, you're welcome. And then he says, man, we need to stay in contact. And gave me his contact information and was like, hey, bro, I need people around me to send me stuff and help me because he's in his process. And I was like, cool, cool, cool. Yeah, yeah, all right. Yeah, peace, yeah. So we took a picture together. And the fear of being associated with somebody who wasn't a all-out, spotless believer of Jesus Christ. I was thinking about what the church would say and what people who had their stones ready, they was ready for it. What they would say. And as I was walking away, I felt like the Holy Spirit says, can I trust you with him? I was like, what do you mean? Can I trust you to stay close enough? If I allow this to happen, would you stay close enough to him to represent me to him, even if you're going to get some stones thrown at you? And right there, I had a decision because I felt the stones from 2 weeks ago. And I said, God, I ain't about to be no weak punk Christian. I'm not about to be like these people who will claim you in church and forget you in the streets. I said, I got you, God. Like I'm that dude. Send me, I'll go. Boy, I said, give me my phone. I picked up my phone. I edited that picture. Post. Stone proof. I'm ready for you to throw the stones. Because at the end of the day, if I had to take some hits for somebody to find Jesus, it's worth it. You might not be dealing with somebody who's a celebrity or somebody who has status, but what about that coworker? What about that cousin? What about that family member? Will you be the one who will take a position to stay with them long enough? Not condone what they're doing. Still keep your convictions, but not condemn them. To tell them the truth, but lead with grace. If you lead with grace, you'll always have an opportunity for the truth. Hear me say it one more. If you lead with grace, you will always have an opportunity to tell somebody the truth. And guess what? They're more apt to receive it because they know you care about them, not just what they do. Come on. Yeah, we can give God praise right there. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among who? Us. Like he didn't sit on a castle or a tower. He came and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We couldn't leave this Grace Like a Flood series without really talking about how do we deal with people in the middle of their sin. And what I want you to do is know that if you're in the middle of your sin, we love you. And you can belong here before you behave. No, Pastor Mike, no. Mm-mm. Why would you tell them that? Because I can't get surgery on my heart if I never go to a hospital. And they're never going to get transformation for their heart if they're not in a hospital. TC, it's a new day. You're gonna see all walks of life come in here. And I'm gonna promise you that we're gonna guard the leadership of this house to make sure that that is a pure flowing well of people who are living right and holy and standing up. And guess what? They're not gonna be perfect. So you're gonna see some people on the platform, they just disappear. And you're gonna be like, what happened to them? They're in a process. We didn't throw them away. They're just getting worked on. Because we gotta make sure what comes from here to you is pure. But what you gotta know is what's out there is gonna be everything. Confused, mean, angry, secretive. Like, you're gonna be sitting next to people. Why? Because you're that way now. And I think that before we see the influx of people, I've already declared to our staff, we are growing as a church this summer. Like most people in the summer, the attendance goes down and all that. We have been growing during the summer, and we're going to continue to grow. Why? It's because people are going to find out that they don't need to wait till August to get the things that are killing them out of their lives. And they're going to find out that there's a hospital for humanity. I want to say thank you for being that church who can see people in broken places and look beyond their fault and see their need. If we can ever become that church, we're gonna see a revival in this city. No. I'm not talking about a revival like tent meetings all night. I'm talking about personal. Because when I get revived and you get revived and you get revived and you get revived and you get revived and we all come together, revival happens. Today, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for everybody who's been judging people. I get to be in that category again. I want to pray for everybody who feels condemned and let you know that Jesus is standing with you. And I want to pray that this church would become a place that does not just follow the message, that really exemplifies and represents the method. Grace for them? Yeah. Because we serve a God of grace and truth. Father, I thank you for every person that is listening. Come on, why don't you just lift your hands right now in a way to receive. Father, I thank you right now that there are people all over this place that are really in need of your grace. Father God, that we're realizing even in this moment, Father, that we've messed up, we've judged people, we've been the one caught in the act. But somehow your grace keeps going. And like a wave, Father, it comes again. And like another wave, it comes again. And your love keeps coming. And you're chasing us down. And today, let us be in awe, not of what we've done or what anybody else has done, but God, let us be in awe of what you're doing in us. God, forgive us for throwing stones. Father, matter of fact, forgive us for having stones on reserve. Father, today we give up our stones and we pick up grace. And I thank you, Father, that you're doing heart surgery on people right now, that they would experience, feel, and hear your love like never before. God, I thank you that this will be a church that walks in grace and truth. In Jesus' name, we agree. Come on, somebody in this place, let's give God a shout of praise for being the God of grace and truth. Oh, come on, y'all.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or our website at transformchurch.us/give. And don't forget to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this one. Now go and live a transformed life.